the beginning of Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Dalet, the fourth Pasuk, in the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach. Dad, please.
Pasuk
Dalet? Good, Yaakov sends Malachim. How would you translate the word Malachim?
Messenger.
Or? Machlok is Rashi Rashbam. Lifanav El Esav Achiv. Arza Seir Steyadom. So where Esav is, to his brother, in Arza Seir and Steyadom. Continue. Vayitzav Otam. Exactly. Vayitzav Otam Lemor, and he commanded them, saying, Kotomru Ladni Esav, go tell my master, Adoni Esav, Komar Avdech Yaakov, that this is what his brother Yaakov says. How many clauses are there in the pasuk so far? How many different statements? Feel free to look in the pasuk and answer that question. Three. One is Vayitzav Otam Lemor. Two is Ko Tom Rulad Nile Sab, and the three is Komar Avdecha Yaakov. What do they all have in common so far? That is that Yaakov didn't say anything yet. There are three introductory remarks. Buckle up. Because here's what I want you guys to do. I want you to go to Esav and to tell him the following statement that comes from his brother Yaakov. Like this whole build-up. Three different clauses building up to what the pasuk is about to say. Get ready for the big conclusion. Im lavan garti v'achar arato. I've been loving with all this. I've been with loving all these days. Vahili shor v'chamar tzon v'evet v'shivcha v'shlecha la'agid lo la'anum tzachem b'enecha. And that's all he says, because pasuk Zion is already v'yashuvu amalachem el Yaakov le'mor. What is this big, powerful message he tells? I lived with Laban until now. And I have a lot of animals. Vayitzav Otam Lemor. Ko Tomru Ladni Esav Komar Avdecha Yaakov. There's this tremendous buildup on the pasuk for what? Practically nothing. By the way, who's bothered by this question? Rashi. Rashi's bothered with exactly this question. He offers two answers. What are his two answers? We'll read them inside momentarily. What is Rashi's two answers? What is this big message that he's supposed to tell Esav? What does Rashi say in the first pshat? What's his first day? What's the first shita? You guys read this Rashi, right? Yeah? I never really made it. I never became so famous. I was never really so chashuv. I never really made it as a winner. I wasn't that rich. Take a look in Rashi inside Garti. Rashi's focusing on the word Garti and love on Garti. Lo nasiti sar v'chashuv ella ger. I never made it as a sar v'chashuv. All my life I remained as a ger, an outcast, an outsider. And Rashi's being medayik that from what word in the pasuk? Garti. In other words, go tell Esav them love on Garti. What's the significance of Garti, says Rashi? I was always a ger. I never was an insider. And therefore, Einecha Kedai L'sno Oti. It's not Kedai, it's not worthwhile, it's not in your best interest to hate me. Al Bircho Savicha Shebarchani. Why not? What would have been? Why would Esav have hated Yaakov? Because he stole the bracha. Don't hate me because I stole the bracha. Which is Havi Gevir L'Achecha. Which is Be Gevir L'Achecha. Shehari Lo Niskayma Bi. Why should Esav not be disappointed, or jealous rather, or angry at Yaakov? Yeah, it's like if I steal a lottery ticket, it comes up losing. If I steal your lottery ticket, are you happy or angry? You're angry. However, if it ends up not winning, then what? Much quicker to forget. And that, I think, is what Rashi's trying, what Rashi's doing with the pasuk, with the word garti. What is Yaakov saying? Rashi's bothered with the question of, what message is Yaakov conveying to Esav? And in the first day of Rashi, what is he saying? No? Don't be mad at me because the bracha never came true on this kind of thing. Now Rashi is going to offer a second interpretation, and we'll start our analysis after we read that. Who wants to read the second day in Rashi? Starting from Davar Acher, the little Dalet Aleph, or Davar Acher, whatever you have. You want to read the Rashi? Not everyone at once. Yeah, go. Correct. What does that mean? Correct. Yeah, exactly. Well done. Kilomar. Yeah, what's Rashi's second shot? I was really from in Lavan's house, and I had kept 613 mitzvahs, and I did not learn from Lavan HaRasha. The gematria.
No,
of,
but
what's the gematria of 613? Of Tariyad? Garti. Oh. Not only is it, and not only is it the same gematria, it's actually the same letters. In love on Harasha Garti, right? In love on Harasha Garti, but Tariq Mitzvah Shemarti, Lolamati, Nice of Haroi. Now, one can ask, as we'll mention, but not get into it in depth, as whether did Yaakov really keep 613 mitzvahs in love on Taos? After all, he married two sisters. Leave that question aside. Just to review, we'll review Rashi's 2 days, and we'll ask a major question on each one of them. A major problem on each one of them. Rashi Lechora, it doesn't tell you this, but Mistami bothered with the question we were bothered with when we read the pasuk, which is, get ready, Esav. Here's the message. Here's what I'm about to tell you. Here it is coming right out of Yaakov's mouth. In love on Garti, everyone's loving the Torah. Question is, what's the significance of this statement? There's two different sheets. Day number one is what? The bracha never came true. Don't be angry at me. What's day number two? I'm really from. I'm so from Esav. I was in 11th house and still really from there. What questions, observations, conclusions, points, attacks, anything, thoughts you'd have on meeting these two Rashis? Day number one, day number two. What's good about them? What's problematic about them at first glance? Yeah.
So,
it's a tremendous amount of lack of bitachon Yaakov seems to display here when he says the brachas never came true. Because Sardis does have a lot of animals.
Yeah.
Do you think Yaakov really believes that Hashem's bracha was a bluff, was a dud? Is that really the case? Yaakov really believes that if he got a dud, he maneuvered, he tried his best to work out, and he finally tricked and got the bracha as well as the bechor, everything from his father. Turns out, Yaakov doesn't even believe it. No longer time of Rashi said. Is that really true? Problem number one. Now the truth is, yeah. What's the problem with the second shot?
Why will
it? Yeah, he's not the Mashiach. You after 3 years, you come at Rav Milson, I want you to know. I'm still learning Torah every day, I'm still diving every day, I'm still wearing skirts every day, I'm still planning on coming out of Aliyah. That's important work on Milson, right? I'm dating a guy who's, been bringing me to Eretz Yisrael, a couple of, Eretz Yisrael with you over here. So that makes sense in Yisrael Milson after a few years. But after, see, Esav, do you think that's what Esav's concern was? As good as Esav was probably so worried. But Yaakov, where is he? Is he still from? No, please send the Mashiach Eighth of the Message. That was with love, and yeah, I'm still a Ben Torah, carrying with the Shalak. Neither one of these Pshatim are very easy to understand in the first place. The truth is, I'd like to explain them, and then I'd like to really delve into the step one and show you an unbelievable, beautiful insight. The Lubavitch Rebbe has a whole theory that, I think it's Lubavitch Rebbe, I heard it in his name. That any time Rashi quotes two days, one should ask what question? Why only two? Meaning, usually Rashi quotes one day. Why? Because he really likes it a lot. Rashi was aware of much more than what he wrote on Chumash. Rashi was a tremendous bucky in all the agadas and gemaras, all the midrashim. Rashi had tremendous ideas about it. Yet he only quoted one midrash out of all of them. Which one is the one he quoted? The one he liked for whatever reason. Why? We can talk about that. Maybe it's most textually grounded, maybe it's the one he liked to hashgah from it most. Yeah, people discuss how it is that Rashi determined which medrash to accept and which one not. But for some reason, he liked it. Maybe there was only one system. Maybe he just quoted the first one he liked it. He couldn't tell you why sometimes he liked it. For this reason, for that reason. I don't know exactly what triggered Rashi to quote different midrashim here, different midrashim there. But l'chora, it's surprising that Rashi quotes two pshatim. Lubavitcher Rebbe used to suggest that if Rashi quotes two pshatim, it must be really like the first one the best. So I quoted it first. That was a major problem with the first one. One which that the second one, although it's second best according to Rashi, really solid. The second one comes to solve the problem that the first one leaves open, even though the second one has bigger problems. If that's correct, Lubavitcher Rebbe's whole system, his whole theory of how to learn Rashi is correct. What might be Rashi trying to do over here? What's the advantage of the first pshat? What's the advantage of the second pshat? What's the conceptual difference, really, behind the first mahalach and the second mahalach? What's really the difference going on here, yeah?
Right.
He made it, but not really.
It could be
Yaakov was happy enough because Yaakov had a lower standard of living. Yaakov had a lower value of Gashmias that way. Yaakov didn't need all the Gashmias Esav had. Yaakov only needed Yaakov had Kol, Esav had Rav, right, the whole way around. Yaakov only needed Esav, therefore Esav, don't be upset. I only got what I needed, you wanted more anyway. It could be. I'm going to have different houses than you. I like it more. I think it's even cooler. Yeah? Yeah, why don't you stop there? I hear what you're saying. I'm going to take a slightly different approach, but let's see what people suggest. Here, what do you got?
Well, this one's
right. The first one is lying, the second one is? I thought you were on track to something great, and I really like that a lot. I wanted to say the following thing, and I think you really have it in mind. The first shot, let's take a step back. Let's realize where Yaakov is. Yeah.
Remember him making himself trying to sound unthreatening because, oh, I
didn't
really
need
to go humble.
Yeah.
I like
the first one a lot. The second one I'm taking slightly differently, but what you're saying is not bad. I want to say the following. When Yaakov finally left Laban's house and came out of hiding, right, when Yaakov went to Laban's house, why did Yaakov go? Because Esau was about to kill him. Yaakov finally gets down, he has to respond to Esau. What is Esau upset about? The fact that Yaakov stole the brook from the Bechor. What does Yaakov want to tell Esav? If you were Yaakov, what would you tell Esav in this situation? What would you want to tell Esav? What would you want to tell Esav? I just got out of Laban's house, and I got to send a really important message to Esav, which is, the Chumash thinks in Laban Garthi, and Rashi is trying to figure out, well, why is that so significant? Rashi says, put yourself in Yaakov's shoes momentarily. What would you want to tell Esav at this point in time? What question would you want to deal with? The bracha. You know what the first pshat is? Esav. I took the bracha, but you want to know what? Don't feel bad. You know what the second pshat is? I deserve the bracha. Yaakov was torn. There's this unbelievably strong tension. On one hand, if I tell Esav the truth, which is really what I want to say, what am I telling him? Esau, you want to know why I took the bracha? Because you're a shegit, never ben Torah. Esau, I took the bracha because you're a menovel, you're not from. I was from im lavan garti v'tarik mitzvah shamarti. I was from. I kept Torah and mitzvah. That's why I took the bracha. I deserve it. Just because you were born at first doesn't mean you're better. You lived a life of, you know, lacking shmiz and mitzvahs. The reason why I took that bracha is because I deserve it. What's the first shot? Not what Yaakov really thought, but
what
Esav wanted to hear. The first pshat Yaakov said is not what Yaakov really believed. I don't think Yaakov really believed, well, this time of it, that the bracha never came true, that the bracha was a dud. I think Yaakov's too committed, too firm to believe that.
But I mean, it's true.
So therefore, I think Yaakov was torn. On one hand, I got to respond to Esav, because otherwise, he's going to come kill me. What do I say? But he's torn. On one hand, I say, you want to know what? Let's tell him what he needs to hear. He needs to hear the bracha never came true. He needs to allow you to think it didn't come true. Hashem, I don't know what Hashem did, but the bottom line is the bracha is a dud. Alternatively, one could suggest that Yaakov wanted to tell Esav the truth. I deserve it. And that's why Hashem chose me over you. And if that's correct, maybe what Rashi believes is that there is tension is as to what Yaakov had in mind, and maybe even tension as to what the pasuk tells me. The word garti is a word that on one hand can mean ger, that I'm an outsider, an outcast, never really made it as an insider in Lavan's house. Lo nesiti sarv chashuv ela ger. Ein chakadai l'sno osi al berchas avicha shebarachani. Havikvir l'chacha. Shalonis chambi, never came true. However, that's what Yaakov probably said, and that's why Rashi said it first, because it's probably what Yaakov really said. Yaakov probably appeased Esav, even though deep down what he really wanted to say is, "Im lo vangarti, tarik mitzvah shamarti. Lo limadti ma'amaisav harai." And if that's correct, maybe we can have a really nice interpretation, a really nice pshat in Rashi, that the word itself, garti, the Chumash may have left it even intentionally vague, but the tension going on in this Rashi, maybe even the Pasuk is, how does Yaakov respond to Esav? Let's take a round of questions, and I want to add in an unbelievably, what I think is such a beautiful insight to this Rashi. I want to develop it in the first round of questions. One, two, three. Go, one.
You could have just said it before, but like, if it says that Yaakov says to say, Eva van Garfi, how on earth is Esav going to interpret that? I guess this accepted the 13 mitzvot, so I deserve it. Like, it doesn't
mean those. Well, he may have known. He grew up in Yitzchak's house. He may have known the mitzvot. But I'll make an interesting point in Chumash. According to the first day in Rashi, which word reads better, in Lavan or the word Garti? I'm not sure, actually. Maybe the focus is Garti. I'm not sure. I take that back. Yeah, two. I'm not sure there's the two main stories, but
okay,
this is
okay,
that's the main story, and here is a story. Yeah. How is it possible Yaakov is so emes if we see him just lying to his brother, telling him stuff that's not true, trick? It's a good point. It's a great question. It's nothing I want to get into really right now at length, but al regalachas, something along the lines of emes is beyond, you know, sometimes the greater truth is even more significant and truthful than, you know, if you tell a small lie for a greater truth later on, it could be there's room for something along those lines. Sometimes make peace over truth. There's all sorts of answers. It could be Yaakov. One could also say, Yaakov, anyone would have said Shekhar, I'd have been torn about it. Yaakov, look, you see the tension. But you're right. In other words, it's a great question. It really deserves an entire topic in and of itself, which I'm definitely not dedicating time right now to. Yeah. I'm not sure Esav believed Yaakov. I don't know. I'm not sure Esav believed Yaakov. I'm not sure. If this is correct, I'd like to really share a beautiful, beautiful insight to shot number two. When Yaakov responds to Esav, Garti, Begimatria, Tarya, Kolomim, Lovin, Rosh, Garti, Begayim, Mitzvah, Shemarti, Lolomati, Vermaisav, Haroim. The simple pshat is I would throw, but I'd like to share a whole other level. I'd like to share a whole other level for the second day in Rashi. I'm going to start by asking a few questions, three or four questions, and tell you a mahalach that the Malibu says that I think answers a whole bunch of them. Question number one is an unbelievable message. The Medrash says that when Yaakov married Leah, he woke up the next morning and he was in utter shock, as one can imagine. Put yourself in Yaakov's shoes for a second, right? What the heck?
Did he even realize during the night?
He wakes up and he says, Leah, how could you have possibly done this? You tricked me. Totally unfair. You know what Leah signs according to the Medrash? You tricked your father. How dare you give me money? Now, one has like snap right back at you, right? Oh, snap, right? In other words, that's for her what Leah is saying. But if you think about it a little further, what's the point of that message? What, two wrongs make a right? That's what the Medrash says. I don't know. The Chumash doesn't seem to address the issue. It's a great question. The Medrash's interpretation probably is as likely or not likely as any other one at first glance. I'm not sure exactly what Yaakov had in mind. And if it's not literal, even more so, what is the point of the Medrash? It's not that two wrongs make a right. It's not that Leah feels that once Yaakov did, you know, trick his father, well, can people trick Yaakov for all of eternity? And therefore, question number one is, what is the message? What's the hashkafa? What's the idea? What's the ideology the Medrash is trying to teach? Question number one is the Medrash. Question number two, there's an interesting one. The Malbim himself asked to develop the Yisroel. I'm going to use that Yisroel for a few points. The Malbim asks, how is it possible that Yitzchak totally fell for all of Esav's tricks? Now it's true Yitzchak was blind. Now it's true Yitzchak may have fell for other tricks as well. Yaakov with the wrong brother, Yitzchak sending out. Sorry, Rivka sending out Yaakov to go get married opposed to the real reason why, which is Esav wanted to kill him. Taking that all into account, it's difficult to imagine Rivka knew Esav's evil nature and Yitzchak had no clue. One son was sized as the fifth, and even if that just means a hunter, the other son was Ishtam Yoshe Malone, he sat and learned Torah. What was Yitzchak thinking? The Malvin says an unbelievable book. The Malvin says there are different ways to serve God. There's the Yisachar and Zvolim, when one person goes out to the world, makes a parnasa, goes out and teaches and preaches, another person stays home alone. I thought maybe the model was slightly differently. There's the Avram versus Yitzchak model. Avram was the charismatic leader. Avram went out and taught Torah to the world. Avram went out and preached the message of Hashem. Avram went out and spread light to the whole world, the ideology, the philosophy of monotheism. Yitzchak was totally different. Yitzchak was the guy who stayed home. Yitzchak did not go out and teach or preach the way Avram did. A different persona, a different personality. There are those in the Farshim believe this Rabbeinu Bachaya, Rabbeinu Bachaya, however you want to pronounce it, who said that Yitzchak actually did it. But the standard mahalak in learning, when the Chumash is that he's in Yitzchak had a different persona, different personality, a different character trait, a different strength. Yitzchak looked at his sons and said, Yaakov, he's just like me. Quiet. Ishtam Yoshev Olin. Sits and learns. Room. Sincere. Innocent. Genuine. Maybe even a little bit naive. You know what Esav is? Esav has potential to come like Adam. Esav has potential to go out to teach and to preach. Esav's the man in the field. Esav's the man in the world. Esav can go out, impact, and do. Esav's not this guy who sits home and just learns. Esav has the cost to go out and spread the word of Hashem to the world. And if the Malbim is right, I can understand exactly what Yitzchak was thinking. If the Malbim is right, I can understand a lot more things as well. Rashi says in this week's parasha, the Rashi we looked at earlier on. What is Rashi bothered with? What question is Rashi bothered with? On your time, Chavtes Yedayin. What question? You know? The first Rashi I put on the Makaris. What Rashi? What? Yeah. What? No. Why the Ene Leo Rakos? What's Rashi bothered with? V'rachel ha'isa yifas tar v'yifas mar. What's Rashi bothered with? Why was Leah crying? And Rashi answered, Rakot Shehaisa Tzvura. Who went through the Rashi? She was crying, she had to marry Yitzchak. Shehaisa Tzvura, La'alot b'gol la'alot shel Esav v'bocha, shayu kolom, shnei barim l'rivka v'shnei barim l'lavan. Hagadol l'gol v'akhtar l'kadim, quote the Medrash in Bereishis Rabba, Gemara Bava Basra. Leah was designed for who? What does that tell you about Esav? He had the potential to be the tzaddik. He had the potential to be a tzaddik. If Leah was designed for him, if Leah was really his match, and Rachel was Yaakov's match, the Gedola for the God, the Katana for the Kut, maybe one can argue that Esav really had potential. What potential did he have? Exactly what Yitzchak saw in him. To go out to teach and to preach and to share the word of God. Unfortunately, Esav failed. But when Esav failed, what occurs? Yeah. One of two things could occur. Either no one fulfilled that role, it was lost to the world. Esav's contribution, potential contribution, Esav's talent was no longer harvested. The world lost what Esav had to offer. One could suggest so. However, I'd like to suggest something else. Yaakov took on a whole other energy. Yaakov stepped it up and took on a whole other role. Yaakov went against the grain, went against his innate nature. And Yaakov developed a whole other element to his personality. You know who Yaakov was? Two people. He wasn't just Yaakov, he had what? A third person is the second person as well, Esav's role. And by the way, you know what maybe the best example of Yaakov had two different missions in this world? The fact that Yaakov had two names. Masha'en came Avraham, who became Avraham and no longer Avram, because once Avraham grew out of being Avram, took on a whole other role. Yaakov kept both roles. Because Yaakov had two different jobs. He wore two different hats. He was himself, Ishtam Yoshev Olim Yaakov, as well as Esav, which is called Yisrael. And by the way, the Farshim point out that Yisrael is the more worldly one, the one that's on more of a national level, the one that goes out to, we call ourselves Yisrael after. Makes it even better. Who was the first person ever to give Yaakov the name Yisroel? Yeah, who's the guy he was fighting with, according to Chazal? Esav's Malach. Beautiful, right? Why? Esav's Malach Abin Shamayim, who was fighting against Yaakov all night long. Why all night long? I think the idea is that as long as you really can't see what's going on, Esav looks great. Esav puts on a mask, pretends to father, and tricks his car. Esav's the guy who asked him, I'm not for a tumor from Saul. Esav's all. And by the way, Esav's a murky guy. You read Chumash, you don't get the impression he's a Russian lover. Only if you put the pieces together. That A, Bracha was, the Vua was, Yaakov's going to be the greater of the brothers. And B, he's a field person. And C, when Yaakov takes the Bracha, Esav wants to kill his brother. That's a pretty good time. But you put all the factors together, Esav's a murky guy, he's not so clear. The Chumash doesn't come out clear to Esav the Rosh. All night long, it's unclear. However, in the morning time, things become clear. Esav asks, Esav, shall Esav, up in Shemayim. You know what he has to say? I realize that my Esav is a two-faced. I realize it's not real. I realize Esav doesn't have what it takes. And up in Shemayim, Esav, shall Esav, with Moses that Yaakov now has Esav's purpose. Esav's job, Esav's goal, Esav's aim, Esav's role, Esav's potential contribution. This is correct. I'd like to explain the Medrash as well. You know what the Medrash is saying? Yaakov woke up in the morning, bumped into Leah, and he said, how dare you trick me? You know what she said? Not just you trick someone, I'll trick you, but when you tricked your father and took Esav's hat, Esav's job and Esav's goal and purpose, his pocket in this world, you know what came along with it? Esav's wife. Beautiful child, huh? And it could be as Yaakov grew and as Yaakov developed, he went against his natural self and added in a whole other dimension, a whole other persona, a a whole other aspect to his part, characteristic. This is correct. I think maybe even you can explain the Chumash, the Rashi we just read this way as well. Back to our Rashi of Vayishlach. The first shot in Rashi was again, Yaakov was telling Esav what? What Esav needs to hear. Shot number two is when Yaakov told Esav the truth. What's the truth? I learned how to go out into the world and stand in front of the world. It's not just Taryag Mitzvah Shemarti, but what? Imlov on Garten. Yaakov says, I used to be Nishtam Yoshev Olin. As Chumash progresses, he learns how to go to Ace to Lavan's house. I learned how to go out into the world and how to deal with Risham and how to deal with people. I used to be a little Yeshiva Bacher. I had no idea what it was. I didn't know how to leave the house. All I did was sit and learn Ishtam Yoshev Olin. Tell Asa, the reason why I got that bracha is not just because I'm frum, but specifically because I am frum in Beit Lavan. The second day of Rashi, Rashi's saying, day number one again is what Esav needed to hear. Day number two is what Yaakov needed to say. And it's not just that I'm frum and I deserve it, but it's I'm frum in the context that you were supposed to do. Day number one again is Yaakov, Esav needed to hear that. I had bracha didn't come true, I'll say that. Day number two is I am Esav. In the good way. I took my personality, I had a whole other dimension to it. I learned how to be from not just in Yitzchak's house, but in love. I learned in love on Harasha Garti, Vitari Mitzvah Shamarti, Vilola Marati Menamaisim Haran. I wasn't influenced by love and vicious. I wasn't influenced that way. Yaakov is saying to Esau, I can be from in and outside. Now again, did Yaakov say that? Tough to know from Rashi, which is correct. Rashi may have valued the first shot more, may have liked the first and preferred the first shot more because it's arrogant for Yaakov to tell it to Esav. Maybe Rashi told it to Esav because he thought the second shot, Rashi liked Esav. Maybe Rashi liked the first shot more because, come on, what's more likely for Yaakov to have said? The one that's going to get him killed or the one that's going to save his life? But what I'd like to suggest is really two things. Number one is that what's going on behind this machlokes 2 days in Rashi is exact tension to what was going on in Yaakov's mind. What is Yaakov telling Esav? What Esav needs to hear, what Yaakov deep down wants to say. And if it's a second shot, what Yaakov needs to say that he's from and he deserves it. It's not just that I deserve it, but I deserve it specifically in Esav's house because I learned how to be from out in the outside world like Abraham. Yaakov is saying, I'm a combination of Avraham and of Yitzchak. I'm Yaakov and Yisrael. I'm married to Rachel and to Leah. It could be this maybe was really what's going on. Under the first glance, you know, and behind the scenes in this Rashi. All right, girls, have a good week. Have a good Shabbos.